Well, it's good to see you here tonight, and I'm glad to be here. I was kind of shocked when Brother Jim called me last night, thank the Lord that we're able to be here, and I know he'd like to be here. He told me, yes, he'd do a lot of study in the next few days. You can take your Bible, please turn to Psalm 103. I've got several scriptures. We don't have the overhead going or anything, so we're going to do it the old-fashioned way tonight and look at our Bibles. Psalm 103, one of my favorite passages in the Psalms, is written by David, and the subject is Thanksgiving, and so I want to deal with that a little bit. I'll preach off of verse 1 and 2, but I want to read the first 8 verses of this psalm. He says, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He introduces the next 6 or so verses. I've got 7 different benefits that he deals with in these next 6 verses. Verse number 3 is the pardon, who forgiveth all thine iniquity, and the purging, who heals all thy diseases, and the purchase, who redeems thy life from destruction, and the provision, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, and the plenty, who has satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles, and the protection, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed, and the prophecies, he hath made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And so it's a tremendous, this chapter is such a tremendous chapter. We could spend all night on those benefits, but I'm not going to preach on them. I just wanted to mention them. I want to talk about Thanksgiving. And verse number 1, he gives you plenty of grounds for his thanksgiving, and we'll deal with that in a minute. In verse 1, he talks about what the Lord has done for every one of us that are saved. And he, in that verse, and in verse 2, he deals with this thing of thanksgiving. We live in an ungrateful, self-centered generation. Not just here, but across our country and across the world, really. You know, people that don't know the Lord might have an excuse for that. That's the natural man coming out. But here's what I hear in America. Our government or our society owes me something. And whatever I have is not enough. I need more. And it doesn't matter what anybody else receives. I'm only interested in myself anyway. And that, I was going to say that our natural man is not thankful, and we'll see it a time or two. But thankfulness is an attitude. And I'm going to deal with that attitude in a little bit. Unthankfulness says something about spiritual condition. And I've got several verses to look at. Over in 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, he said, "This know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents," and I underline this, "unthankful, and without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." That'll preach. That could come off the headlines of the paper today, and so here we are on the eve of Thanksgiving, and I heard a fellow say somewhere, I think he was in one of my devotional books. But he said it should not be a day of thanksgiving, but it should be a life of thanks living. And so as we approach not just Thanksgiving Day, but every day, we need an attitude adjustment from those verses in 2 Timothy, and God gives clear instructions. Over in Ephesians chapter 5, I started to say this a while ago, but I want to say it off this verse. Chapter 5, verse 20. 5:18 is two verses back, and it talks about being filled with the Spirit. Every one of us that are saved are indwelt with the Spirit. And Romans talks about the battle of the flesh and the spirit in every one of us. And we all have that. Our natural man is selfish, as I've already said, self-centered, and greedy. That's how we are. If you want to see that, go back there at the nursery, those little babies that don't have any of the Word of God in them. They know how to be greedy. If one's got a toy, everybody in the room wants that toy. And they'll do battle over it. And we grew up with that. That's how we are in our nature. But here in verse number 18, he talks about the control of the Holy Spirit. Then he says, he begins to give those results of being controlled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, he talks about the joy that is there and the singing. But in verse 20, he says, the attitude of gratitude, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do that, don't we? I doubt it. You know, sometimes Susie and I, just the two of us, sit down to eat. We always say the blessing. But though we know that every good gift comes from above, and though we know that we should be thankful for every good gift, there are times that we say the blessing and then we're talking about something or doing something or distracted in some way, and then we say, did we say the blessing? So our thankfulness was pretty shallow, wasn't it? It was not a heart thankfulness. It was at the best, a head thankfulness, and easily distracted from. We talk about being blessed. Title of my message is Blessing the Blesser. Blessing the one who blesses us. And we talk about being thankful. That we know that every good gift comes from above. Amen. But we live our lives as if we earned it. We got it. It's ours. And so so he says in everything, he says thanks always for all things unto God, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only saved people can go there. If you're not saved, you won't get there. If you're saved, you may not get there. It'll take a spirit-filled Christian to really fulfill that verse. And so thanksgiving is not thanksgiving until we're saved and that Holy Spirit has worked in our heart. And then we can say thank you to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he says. But if we do it, it'll take an attitude on our part. We'll have to yield ourselves to the Spirit. We'll have to get out of ourselves and look to the Lord if we are thankful. So that's the first verse. Then you can turn a couple of pages over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. I heard David Ring preach on this verse years ago. He calls it the 11th commandment. He says, let's see, where am I at? Not 23, 18. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. You know, David Ringman had cerebral palsy. And he would, about here, he would step out on the edge of the platform. He'd say, I have cerebral palsy. What's your excuse? We've all got an excuse, don't we? Why in everything we do not give thanks. He said, in everything, give thanks. Not just the good things, but in the trials, the heartaches, the suffering, the tears, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I was thinking about that verse today, and I was thinking about Romans 8:28, one of my favorite verses, especially in the days of trials and heartaches, where he says that all things work together for good to them that are called. And it's easy for us to say it's working together for good when we're up on top and when the sun's shining. But in the trouble, when cancer strikes or the baby dies or 100 other things, it's hard to say thank you, Lord. But it may be that God's going to work through those trials to build a faith, to do a work that we have no vision for and can't get a hold of. He knows. He knows what's going to take for us to be what he wants us to be so we can be to him what he'd like for us to be. And so in everything, give thanks. Philippians 4:6. Says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. That's a lifestyle. And then in Psalm 100 and verse number 4, just a page back from across the page from our text or a page back, he says in Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I love that verse. You can back up another step to 95. And Psalm 95 says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. I'm thankful for the songs that we sing here in the church, aren't you? I mean, I'm not a good musician, and I don't have a good voice. And if I were to sing specials, you'd throw rocks at me or tomatoes or something. Amen. But I can come in here. One of the great things that I admired in Larry Atkinson was he could glorify the Lord with his singing. And when he did, I felt like I was glorifying the Lord when I could sing alongside of him. I remember the first time I ever met him, he was doing deputation to go to Africa for the first time. We had mission conference, and we had a missionary out of our church that worked the port in Houston. And he was a missionary to the merchant seamen. And we took a van load of missionaries down there one day during the conference, and we went on board the ships and preached on the ships and got acquainted with the seamen. We didn't ever know who we were. One year we went on a Russian ship. That was exciting. But that was when Russia was much more closed than it is now. But that day, as we traveled down, you know Brother Larry, we had to do some singing on the way. And so we sung at every break along the way. And there were some other guys that wanted to sing in there too. By the time we got back to the church, we'd had revival just for the singing. It was wonderful to go on the ships, but it was wonderful to be in that van with those men singing. I was driving, so I had an excuse I couldn't sing. He said, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." That's 95. And we do need to thank him publicly. In fact, I thought about it would be a good time for just testimonies, and everyone could say what they're thankful for. But the Lord didn't let me do that. But it's important for us to thank him publicly. You know, somebody said, "Well, I'm not a singer, so I don't sing." You ought to praise him no matter what. He said, make a joyful noise. You can do that. And you ought to praise him if he is your Savior, your Lord. You ought to, he said, and he says it over in chapter 35 of a psalm. I know they're not chapters, they're psalms. 35 verse 18. Listen to this one. The Lord is, no, 35. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. I was talking with my boy last week about being at Heartland at the home mission conference, and 1,500 men were there. There was a few women, but the big majority of the crowd was men, and we sang that song, "And Can It Be That Thou, My God, Didst Die For Me?" I mean, they rung the rafters with that song, all of those men singing. It was powerful. It's powerful to praise him publicly, and we need to do that. I got a couple of more verses, but I'm going to move on. We need to do that. But Psalm 119, verse 62 says, "At midnight I will rise," not in the congregation, not publicly praise him, but privately praise him. I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. Just remembering a verse of scripture, or just remembering a verse of song, he said, all alone in my bedroom, in my closet, I will praise thee. And so, David is the author of this psalm, and he's the writer of most of those verses. All the psalm verses. And there's some things that I'd just like to say about his relationship with the Lord. I'm still introducing. I'll get to the... But I promise you, I only got three little short points to... there's things you can say about David, if you think about it. Psalms 23... When he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David loved the Lord, didn't he? I mean, it's such a powerful love statement that we all want to claim it. It's the most popular, probably the most popular Old Testament verse in the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. Don't you want to be able to say that? If you are saved, you want to say that. It's in your heart to say that, to get up close to him, just alone with him. And so he loved the Lord. And David desired to live his best for the Lord. The Bible calls him the man after God's own heart. He is the only man in the Bible that has that title. You think about the men. Abraham was called the friend of God, but he wasn't the man after God's own heart. Moses was called the servant of the Lord, but he wasn't that man with God's own heart. John the Baptist was called the greatest prophet that's ever been born of woman. But he wasn't the man after God's own heart. Only David is called that man after God's own heart. Now we can get back to our text. I want to preach off these first two verses. Where the blessed man is blessing the blesser. And there's some things that have to be in place. He said, bless the Lord. He's preaching to himself in this psalm. He said to himself, bless the Lord. I wonder if we've ever said to ourselves, I want to be a blessing to the Lord. Honestly, until I began to meditate on this scripture, I never had even thought about it in that context. But it's not a natural thing for any of us to want to bless the Lord. We pray, when we pray, we ask for his blessing on us, don't we? But all these verses, and there's some more that I didn't read, said we are to give thanksgiving to the Lord. And if we do that, we're going to have to decide to do it, because it's not natural in us to do that. It's something you're going to have to decide in your own heart. Will I bless the Lord or will I not bless the Lord? Am I satisfied to go through Thanksgiving and talk about pecan pie and pumpkin pie and turkey and ham and all the other stuff that goes with it? Or will I say, thank you, Lord, from my heart? Will I decide to bless the Lord? There's a lot of reasons other than just our nature that we do not say thank you enough. Sometimes we take the blessing of the Lord for granted. He's blessed me this far and He'll bless me tomorrow. Sometimes we believe we deserve the blessings of the Lord. I think about these COVID patients who are stuck in a hospital and nobody ever gets to console them or be with them or touch them or talk to them. It really grieved my heart for Carolyn Reeves. She was such a fellowship person. She knew everybody. Earl Cavanaugh came here and talked about going to get married, and first thing you know, he was calling her his Texas mom, and she was going to be in the wedding there as his mother. And that meant a lot to her. That was the person she was. But when she went to that hospital, her pastor could not even pray with her. Her friends could not come and say, "We're praying for you, Carolyn. We love you, Carolyn." Now you put yourself in that position for a couple of weeks with nobody to say, "I'm concerned about you." All the professionals are there and they're doing their thing. But when the money stops, they stop. I wouldn't want to go there, and I don't think you'd want to go there. We take the blessings of God for granted, don't we?
Amen.
I mean, we got family, we got friends, we got people that care. And we really don't deserve all the blessings that God has given us. What we deserve was a place, a reservation in hell. And then sometimes we just think I'm just lucky to be American, right? It's just fate. God wanted me. Somehow He looked in favor on me when He didn't look in favor on somebody else, huh? It's the Lord that provides for us.
Amen.
So he says, "I have resolved to bless the Lord." Then he says, in a beseeching way, "O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His name." You know, have you ever been to a place you knew you needed to pray, and you wanted to pray, but you just couldn't get it going? I imagine we have. So easily distracted from what's really important. And we wish we had, but we didn't. So he sets a standard. To his soul. "Oh, my soul." Before the hard times come, before the tears are shed, before the heartbreak, before the trouble, "Oh, my soul." There's a verse over in Psalm that says, "In floods of great water you will not find me." God was saying, "Be still and know that I'm God right now. While you have opportunity, seek my face." And we do, and we, and we all have, we live in a busy world. We all have busy things we got to do. We all have troubles that we face. We all have schedules that we can't meet. And we got many things that can distract us from saying, stopping, smelling the roses, and saying, thank you, Lord, for who I am, what you've done for me, for those you've put around me. Thank you for Metropolitan Baptist Church. Thank you for the friends and the people that I know in the Lord that pray for me. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my soul, all that's within me, get it together, soul. We're going to bless the Lord. That's what he's saying. And it's easy to get discouraged. You ever hear anybody talk about being discouraged in the Lord? Discouraged in serving God? It's easy to allow discouragement and disappointments keep us from where God wants us to be. But I look at it. I don't have time to go to the verses, but God was good to David in his youth. He was a nobody out there in the hills following a flock of sheep, but he had a daddy. He had a Jesse. He had a heritage. And God met with him on the hills with the flock of sheep. God was good to him in his manhood. You know, he was anointed a king of Israel, and for years never got to sit on the throne. In his young manhood, it was a battle every day. He was running from Saul most of the days, but there was fighting and struggles, and he couldn't sit still. He had to be in the cave or over in the land of the Philistines or somewhere. But God was good to him there. He knew he had been blessed. Sometimes I think it's Psalm 32 that talks about his state in that cave, when he was in the cave. Is that the verse, brother? God used that verse, that chapter, that psalm in my life. And he failed. I know our hearts, because I've got a heart. I know a soul that's weak because I've got one. And I know the failures in the Christian life that we all experience. And wish we had been stronger, and wish we'd have did, huh? Trace old David, the man after God's own heart, who went into deep sin and caused deep hurts and lived with the consequences for years to come out of his own disappointments. But in it all and through it all, he could say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. I've failed him a lot of times. He's never failed me. And then look at, you ever get down to pray and you've got all these things that you're doing and you're concerned about, and you get distracted about what you're doing. Like the blessing at the table. When we said a blessing, but we didn't even concentrate on the blessing and couldn't remember whether we said one or not. Huh? That's pretty distracted, isn't it? He said, here's how we're going to do it, so all that is within me is going to bless the Lord. Everything, every inch of who I am, every atom in my soul is going to rise up together, and we're going to bless the Lord. I can't say too many times when I have been at that place of wholehearted surrender, wholehearted praise, wholehearted giving myself to God, but those few times when I came near to that are the high points of my Christian life. I mean, there was a day in Colorado when I had a heart attack on top of a mountain. I can promise you those next few hours and those next few days, I was singing, "Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee." And I was giving him every bit of my concentration and every bit of my soul. I wasn't easily distracted in that ICU ward. And God responded in such a great way. I remember the day when that preacher preached and I realized that though I was in church and though I was a deacon and though I was this, that, and the other and could do this, that, and the other, I was not in the will of God, but I wanted to be in the will of God and I couldn't go further and I fell in that altar right there. And it didn't matter what the church was doing. It didn't matter what the congregation was doing. Me and God were doing business. It was just me. All that was within me. And He changed my life completely that day. It's never been the same. And you know, I'd went through years of getting excited in the getting off on a tangent. And after you get past the learning curve and everything's not new anymore, you lose interest and it wasn't what you... I went to school at night for years and when they put that rope on and said magna cum laude, and I thought, this is not it. But when that night when I surrendered to Him, that's 40 years ago. It's still it. It never has got old. It's always a blessing. It's always a joy. There's always a place of peace there. I was thinking about it today. I've been fighting a phone trying to get it to fit. I found out last night the best thing I can do is lay it down and just give it to God. And if it'll fit, it'll fit. If it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. But I just have to be happy with it, whatever we do. It worked. Made a lot better man out of me today than it was yesterday. That's simple, but it's true. We get lost in who we are.
Amen.
So He said, remember who He is, verse 1. Bless His holy name. Bless His high name, His exalted name. Bless His King of Kings name. Bless that name that every knee will bow to. Bless that name that we'll all give an answer to. Bless His name. Our Thanksgiving, I read over in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. There was a crowd in chapter 4 who sung a song of praise to the Creator. He is the Creator. Every heartbeat, every breath is a work of God. And He says over in the Psalm, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Amen.
But then you get to chapter 5 and they sung a new song. And it wasn't a song to the Creator. It was a song to the salvation of the Savior. The only one who could save us, the only one that could redeem us, it was a song to Him. So we come before Him when we bless His name. He is our Creator. He's the one that controls the sickness and the diseases and everything, all of our circumstances of life. But He's so much more than that. Amen. Over there in Isaiah, He said, "Be still and know that I am God. Look unto me, all you ends of the earth, and know that I'm God. There's not another."
No, sir. Amen.
Don't get casual. It's easy. I know we're the church here tonight. Don't get casual with who you are. We're a child of God by the grace of God and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He prepared and built us a salvation when we had no regard for Him. In fact, Romans says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then He says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," in verse 2, "and forget not all His benefits." I just run through them a while ago. Pardon, purging, purchase, provision, plenty, protection, the prophecies. Thank God for everything. Hey, without the Word of God, you couldn't be saved. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Without faith, faith comes off the mercy of God. It's the grace of God extended to man. He's given every one of us enough faith to be saved. Well, we've got about three or four things that we can really say thank you for. We have salvation. We have health. We've got a church family. Our physical family has dwindled down. There's not much left of it. But we've got a church family.
Amen. Right.
It's wonderful when the saints can get together and minister one to another in the fellowship home of the saints. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We don't have to call any man Father. We don't have to call somebody to intercede for us. We can go straight to God and get help. We've got this blessed book. We've got the Word of God in our hands. Put it in your heart. We're blessed.
Amen.
Here's what He says down in the... I just wrote a little note on my outline and put these verses down and starting in 19. The praise that is due Him. Him and Him alone. "The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure." That's you. That word minister is the word servant. You are the servant of God. You were lost. You were serving yourself. Now you're saved and you serve Him. "Bless the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works and all the places of His dominion. Bless the Lord." Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Have you blessed Him lately? Over there in Hebrews, He says in chapter 13, we have an altar. And down in verse number 15, he says this, we don't bring the blood, the bodies of beasts. We don't bring the sacrifice of blood. We don't do all of that. But by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Listen to it. Giving thanks to his name. That's not a request. Those are commands of God. David said, I'm going to say to my soul, bless the Lord, oh my soul, in the great congregation, in the midnight hour, or wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, I want to bless the Lord. God, have your way with us. Lord, I just ask forgiveness for the days I take you for granted and the times that I look at myself and not to you. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight to join David and humble ourselves in ourselves and bring blessings to the blesser and cry out to you in praise and honor your name with thanksgiving earnestly and honestly out of our own heart. Not for all the things that we have that we wanted, but for the fact that you're our Savior, our Lord, our Father, and that you are ever with us, and we have access to the throne of heaven only through the blessed name of our Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you for the purchase of our souls. Thank you, Lord, for giving your only begotten Son. All of us put together are not worthy of him.
Amen.
But thank you for allowing each individual here to have access to you through the blessed name of Jesus. Lord, I'm unworthy. I confess it. I wish I could say I was a man after God's own heart, like David, but I can't. But Lord, I can say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And I want to. And I pray you'll help us to say it in a way that's meaningful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother John to come. We're going to have a verse of invitation. These altars are open. Maybe you just need to come and say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Do it out of the depths of your heart. You can stand. And when we get through, I want to pray for this young man right here. That was your brother?
Our friend.
Your friend. I want to pray for him. Maybe he can shine a little light into that darkness. So,
155.
Let the Lord have his way with you. Be a good time to just, if you don't want to come down here, just humble your heart where you are and give him the thanks and praise out of your heart.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Love you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
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 It is clear.